Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. Today we're going to get into the liver and gallbladder, a subject that many of my listeners know, I think, much about. But there is room for improvement. Today's show, a deeper explanation of liver and gallbladder function. There's lots of nuances of liver and gallbladder that a lot of people don't know and don't understand, and I want to get into that today. So get to the website, as always, straighttalk.cc. If you're listening and you're on the road, when you get a chance, get to the website. I'm going to refer to the pictures a lot. I like to do that. You can take the time to look at the pictures. You can learn so much more. If not, just use that imagination. Okay. Everybody knows about the olive oil flush. Everybody's heard about coffee enemas. For what reason do we flush the liver and the gallbladder? I think your compliance depends on your understanding. So let's deepen the understanding. First of all, you begin your concern where the symptom is. You begin your concern where the tumor is. You begin your concern where the pain is. If they tell you your eye has the disease, if they tell you your back has the disc herniation, if they tell you your organ, your colon, your liver, your kidney has the tumor, understandably, that's where you begin your concern. Where you have pain, or somebody tells you you have a problem. But you don't make the connection necessarily, not the real connection, thus the show today, between liver function and your symptom, liver function and whatever's going on in your brain, or your kidney, or your pancreas. There's a sequence of understanding that we're going to get into today. So let's get into a principle. And the principle we want to discuss, the basic physiological mechanism we want to call your attention to today, is the fact that whatever garbage gets in your blood, and by garbage I mean pesticides, petrochemicals, viruses, bacteria, parasites, heavy metals, all the endogenous, meaning all the poisons, toxins that your body makes that you have to excrete, anything under the term waste product in blood that shouldn't be there, sets you up for a potential dilemma. And that dilemma is if it can't get out fast enough through your excretory organs, your liver, your kidney, your skin, your breath, so on and so forth, your intestines, if it can't get out fast enough, the brain, the all-knowing, all-watching, all-seeing brain, through the nervous system, watching this buildup of garbage in the blood, and starting to get scared that that garbage is going to go up to the brain itself, which is a highly sensitive nerve tissue, right? Sensitive to the point where it's got to protect itself. Sensitive to the point where there's something called the blood-brain barrier. It's a bunch of capillary tufts that protects the brain from a lot of things that will get to any other part of your body, but not the brain. So the brain watching the blood wants to make sure that it doesn't get harmed. And the minute it sees poison in the blood that can't get out fast enough, the brain will stuff it into the organ system. So effectively, your organ systems become a storage site, or basically a garbage dump for all the stuff that should have gone out of the body, but was building up so fast that your excretory organs, particularly, mainly, primarily your liver, couldn't handle. Now, your fat-soluble poisons, which are your worst harmful chemicals, all your toxic estrogens, your xenoestrogens, and your pesticide derivatives, so on and so forth, many, many, many. If you looked at the sum total of poisons man-made circulating in your blood each day, the majority of them are fat-soluble, meaning if they can't get out of the blood through the liver, because the liver is going to take your fat-soluble ones out, if they can't get out of the blood, they're going to store in the fatty part of the organs. Ladies, that's your breast tissue. Gentlemen, that's your prostate. Wherever you have fat, you have filth. At least if you're living in Southern California. So on top of fat now not being what you want, we have this wonderful insight that the fat that you don't want is filled with the worst garbage. And that's the truth. I did a show a year ago or so on visceral fat, the organ fat. And yes, the organ fat is even dirtier than the adipose fat. And it's closer to the organ. So effectively what happens is the minute or on the overall where the blood can't drain fast enough, where the blood cannot drain itself quickly enough because the biliary system, the liver, is plugged up, you start to develop a higher concentration of toxic fat around the fat of the organ. So the cells of the organ are swimming in this toxic fat. And when those cells swim in the toxic fat, they start to panic. Because those cells need a clean intercellular space, meaning the extracellular. So let's not confuse you. The extracellular space, the space outside the cell, thus the space in between the cells. When that space gets too dirty, the cells pick up on it. The cells are smart too. The cells are in communication with each other. The cells are in communication with the nervous system. The nervous system's in connection with the brain. So effectively, the brain are talking to the cells. You really got to get that, even though you don't think about it, right? This is all mediated through what? The autonomic nervous system. The nerve plexuses that you don't think about, that function by themselves, that of course become defective if you're in high stress, high chronic stress, those nerve lines function normally to keep a communication route between the brain and the cells. And when that extracellular space gets too filthy, because the blood keeps throwing its garbage there, because the blood can't clean itself through the liver and the biliary system, well, those cells then start to derange. They start to change their shape. They start to displace or become dysplastic. And there's lots of words in pathology to describe these different changes in the morphology of the cell. But as a cell is changing its morphology, that cell is becoming less functional. So there's a concept under stress, under chemical stress or biological stress, the cell will exchange structure for function. It'll compromise function because it'll change its structure to adapt to that filthy environment. So really then, if it's losing function to adapt to the environment, that loss of function ultimately becomes what? Your symptom. That symptom ultimately becomes your disease. And all your organs, all our organs, are doing this all the time at some rate. The slower those organs do it, the longer you stay young. Longevity is the relative rate at which these organs do exactly what I just described. So in this context then, in this context, disease takes an interesting interpretation. We say disease is just an adaptation. We might even say cancer, a tumor, is just an adaptation. Chronic illness is just an adaptation. That's the marvelous way to look at it. That's the way we should be looking at your symptom, about your illness, about your disease. That's what your doctors should be explaining to you, but of course they don't. And then in the holistic community, if we reduce understandings like this to what herb can I take for my symptom or what herb can I take for my problem, then we miss the point too. So as always, and you know my theme, it comes down to a deeper exploration, thus the name of the show today. I am ever vowed to the notion that you have to have a deeper explanation because you won't be compliant. People are not compliant. People are busy. The last thing they want to do is study. The last thing they want to do is really learn about their bodies. They're busy. They got things to do. The most they're going to do is spend a little bit of money on something that's natural to help them. And then that's it. That's it. And nobody's calling. Not enough people are calling. Okay? We're still in the shortcut phase. You know, America, in a sense, is a cliff note country. Cliff note in the sense that we love the shortcuts. And that's understandable. But what happens when everybody's busy and everybody's too busy is we end up running around in circles sometimes. You pay more in the long run because you're looking for the shortcut. And I think holistic medicine is falling a bit prey to that problem. So, yes, you do understand the importance in the general sense of liver and gallbladder flushes. You could assemble a lot of people at your health seminars, at your anti-aging conferences, and they'd all agree, yes, liver and gallbladder flushes are essential. They're important things to do. But the minute somebody has a symptom or a disease, that's when we lose continuity because we don't have the depth of understanding. So, concept. What gets into the blood that's fat soluble that can harm you needs to come out through the biliary system. The minute the rate at which it excretes through the biliary system does not compensate for the buildup of it in the blood, the brain will shunt it into the organs. And the cells won't receive it unless they have to, but the intercellular space, the extracellular space, I should say, when the concentration builds up in the extracellular space, that's when the cells start to freak out. And they will choose at some point to respond, and that adaptive response is the beginning of the symptom or the disease. Now, those responses we've actually talked about before, right? They can range from apoptosis, where the cells all kill themselves. When you see things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, you're looking at apoptotic sequences. Either the cells commit suicide or they just become senescent or senile and they don't do anything. They're there. They haven't been replaced by scar tissue. They're still present, but they're dead in a sense. They're corpses, but they're present. Apoptosis is a suicide to the point where you don't even see the cells. The cells have been replaced by nothing but scar tissue. And then, of course, the most fascinating of the three choices that this cell in whatever organ you choose will undergo, the most fascinating to me is malignancy. The cell will become anaplastic. It will reproduce itself in response to this toxic extracellular space. But it will reproduce itself in a sequence that, well, functionally makes it insane. It's an insane cell, reproducing unwantedly without any sense of control. Just a lost cell in a jungle of pain that kind of lost its way. And that's what we call a tumor. So whether the cell goes malignant, whether the cell goes apoptotic, or whether the cell goes senescent, it's catalyzed by the increasing filth in the extracellular fluid that the blood is shunting to it because the liver can't handle it. Now that in a nutshell is why you have to flush the liver. Why you have to open up the biliary system of the liver. So if you go to picture one, again on straighttalk.cc, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. You won't hear a show like this across the nation. I don't think anybody's summing it up this well right now.